you're in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max, and the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. Dial at us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. If you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, I know that distinct voice from Max Kellerman, in part because he's on the air all the time. 2 hours a day on First Take, 2 more hours on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. That's not Max. You're right. My name is Field Yates. I'm joined by Matthew Berry and Stefania Bell for the next 2 hours. What's going on, you two?
Well, really exciting here. First off, apologies to Max Kellerman. Let's just do that right off the top.
Hammer
of the
to bat. The audience.
To everyone. Apologies to Max Kellerman, apologies to Max Kellerman's fans. Apologies to everyone involved. I can't imagine they ever let us do this again. So apologies in advance. It is the Fantasy Football Marathon. You, myself, Stefania, Mike Clay, who will be joining us later, we are the Fantasy Football Crew. We do a podcast every single morning, wherever you get your podcast.
Right.
You can watch it live on Twitter at Fantasy Focus, on ESPN's YouTube page, on the ESPN app and the ESPN Fantasy app, so on and so forth. Excited to be part of, I don't even know what number marathon this is.
I believe it's six. Yeah,
six.
How are you doing over there?
I'm good.
How is it that you look so refreshed in the middle of a marathon?
It's not fair.
Matthew and I have got like bags below our eyes.
No,
like,
you don't.
I feel like I'm dead weight around here.
You guys
here.
Look fantastic.
Very kind of you to say. And the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests will be joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we'll get to them in a little bit. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And here is how the show is going to work. We're going to cover a lot of ground on fantasy football. We're talking about sleepers and busts and injury updates of notes and major storylines and all that. But for those unfamiliar, which is probably like none of you, Matthew Berry writes a column every year. It's called Love Hate, and it implies what you believe. He has players he loves at their value, and he has players that he doesn't love as much. Hate is a relative term. It's relative to their value.
Right. Matthew. It's not about the player themselves. I don't hate any players, but I do hate where they're being drafted on ESPN.com, where, of course, you can draft for free. I'm a company man.
Dun-dun-dun. That's what he was trying. That's a podcast thing. Bear with us here. Promise it'll get better.
I knew we didn't have the drop. I just wanted to make Field do that.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Matthew Berry, for throwing me under the bus yet again. It's not enough to do it when we're on the regular podcast, but doing it on Max Kellerman's show.
Absolutely.
In.
There you go.
Two
so that's
minutes
the voice
in.
Of Daniel. That's the voice of Daniel Dott, by the way, our producer at Secret Squirrel, of course, and also co-host the Fantasy Show on ESPN+.
It won't feel like a real show of ours until you interrupt Field, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming. Stefania. It's only 2:02. We got plenty of time ahead. So here's what we're going to do, though, is Matthew does write Love Hate every year, and his 2021 season preview Love Hate column dropped yesterday, available for free on ESPN.com, a wonderful column to read every single year. Checked in at just shy of about 4 hours for me to read. I think it was 10,000 words. We're going to go through some of the players that made your Love Hate
list. It's worth it.
It is worth it. It is unquestionably worth it. Matthew pours a lot of energy into that column every single year. So let's get into some of the players, Matthew, that made that love and hate list, and we're feeling jolly to start the show. So let's begin with a quarterback that makes your love list, and it sounds like Jalen Hurts is starting to grab this starting job in Philadelphia with a vice grip. Now, he has not been named a starter officially by Eagles' new head coach Nick Sirianni, but he's going to be the starter in Philadelphia. Let's not kid ourselves.
Exactly. All due respect to Joe Flacco. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, barring some sort of trade, and I know the Eagles have been involved in some trade rumors, but barring something like that, Jalen Hurts is going to start, and he's going to be a fantasy superstar. And so Jalen Hurts currently going in the 11th round on ESPN.com. He's going outside the top 10 at quarterback. I'm at QB9. And I think this is important just as we talk about general draft strategy, but it is important to get a mobile quarterback. Eight of the top 10 quarterbacks last year had at least 200 yards rushing. So quarterbacks that get you fantasy points with their arm and their leg are better than quarterbacks that just get you points with their arm. That sort of makes sense, right? And that's what Jalen Hurts does. He's going to get it with your arm and his legs. He started 4 games last year. And again, those were games where he was just a rookie. He was being thrown in there. Lots of injuries to all the pass catchers. The coaching staff, Doug Peterson and company, were fighting with the front office. It was not a great situation for a rookie to be thrown into. And yet, during those 4 games, he averaged 23 fantasy points per game, 66 rushing yards. He was the 9th best quarterback in fantasy over those 4 weeks. And I always like to compare him to, you think about the 4 games that Lamar Jackson started, the final 4 games of Lamar Jackson's rookie year.
Back in 2018,
Jackson only averaged 19.4 fantasy points per game. He averaged less passing yards, only four more rushing yards per game. And the reason I bring that up is just because I think a lot of people were like, ah, well, Jalen Hurts, inaccurate down, you know, he didn't have great completion percentage, which is true. But 25% of his throws went more than 15 yards downfield. As a result, that's going to hurt your completion percentage. My point is 2019, what did Lamar Jackson do? He won the MVP. He won a lot of people their fantasy leagues. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is going to be Lamar Jackson, but I am saying that if you look at what he did as a rookie in those four games, and now he comes into his second year knowing he's the guy, additional and improved pass catchers for the Philadelphia Eagles, he's got top five potential. I have him as a top nine quarterback, and I have him going well ahead of where he's being drafted on ESPN.
Yeah, just a reminder, 12th round ADP right now for Jalen Hurts, 12th amongst all quarterbacks, so you can get a potential discount in Matthew's rankings. I have him at quarterback 11, not too far behind. Let's move to running backs, Matthew, and there is almost every year we have a rookie that we're most enamored by, whether it's because of his own ability, whether it's because of where he landed. Frequently it's because he's a running back, and running backs tend to have the smoothest runway to fantasy relevance right away in their rookie season. And Najee Harris seems to check all those boxes.
Fantasy success field comes from two things, right? It comes from talent and opportunity. I don't think anyone questions Najee Harris's talent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is a guy who had 57 touchdowns, career touchdowns, rushing and receiving at Alabama, tied for the most in SEC history. Literally tied for the most in SEC history. 50 broken tackles last season, second most in the country. Najee Harris can play.
Yep.
And now he goes to the Steelers where he's going to get opportunity. So you add the talent to the opportunity. 2013 to 2018, the Steelers lead back under Mike Tomlin has averaged 20 touches a game. Last 2 years, James Conner struggles to stay healthy, of course. Ben Roethlisberger gets injured in 2019. That throws that season off. But they used a first-round pick on Harris for a reason. They wanted to be a bell cow, true three-down back. I am as a top 10 fantasy running back. His ADP is going outside the top 11. And in fact, I have him as somebody that should be drafted in the middle of round in the top 15 picks overall.
Wow, yeah.
And he's going in the like sort of the 2-3 turn. I like him in the overall even more. Again, I think he has a tremendous amount of talent. I think he's going to get a tremendous amount of volume. I'm not really worried about the offensive line concerns that other people are.
Yeah, and you know, in fantasy, in real analysis, we're always sort of parsing through coach speak because a lot of what you hear from head coaches is just hot air, nothing more than that. They're trying to fill a press conference and get out there without having to answer too many more questions. But Mike Tomlin's one of those coaches that I think often calls it like he sees it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talked many times this year about how the Steelers need to run the football more effectively, organizationally. They are not hiding from their intentions. Their intentions are to make Najee Harris the focal point of their offense. Would not surprise me if he is in the top 3 to 5 of total touches in the NFL this year.
And do you have the offensive line concern? The people that are down on Harris knock the – that's one of the big things against him is – they have concerns about the offensive line in Pittsburgh, which was completely rebuilt this offseason.
Right. I think part of that is probably already built into where he's being ranked, right? Because if you look at – there are running backs who are a little bit ahead of him in rankings that are either not – like maybe not as likely to be catching the balls frequently. Like an example would be Nick Chubb, right? I think Chubb's probably a better runner than I expect Najee Harris to be, which is – not some sort of major
Nick Chubb's
slight,
one of the best runners in the NFL.
But Nick Chubb not nearly as involved as a pass catcher that is, I think, Najee Harris has a chance to be. And we've also seen plenty of fantasy running backs who have been great right away without great offensive lines. No one's been sitting here, you know, espousing the virtues of the Panthers' offensive lines during dominant seasons from Carolina. Saquon Barkley had a very successful rookie
season. Saquon Barkley's rookie year, I had him as a top five play, and everyone's like, you're crazy. The Giants' offensive line is brutal. And I'm like, the talent and volume – Saquon obviously incredibly talented, and he was going to get a ton of volume that rookie year, which he did, and he had obviously had a monster rookie year, both NFL and fantasy-wise.
All right, let's keep things moving here with your love-hate list. Again, available on ESPN.com right now. We'll go to Chris Carson. I want to ask you about Chris Carson here in a second, Stefania, because Carson ranks 13th for Matthew in terms of his RB rankings this year. It feels like Chris Carson's one of those players that maybe it's because of the way he runs, his style, his fearlessness. People just sort of assume he misses more time than he actually does. Any injury concerns for Chris Carson, who has retained this year on a 2-year contract?
Yeah, I don't think any more than any other running back. And yet, for some reason, the perception remains that he's more susceptible than everybody else. I don't really get it. I mean, maybe it was because 2 years ago, his season ended with a hip injury. So it was kind of the last thing you saw. The recency bias kicked in. I will say last year, he had a foot injury that cost him some time and then kind of faded him a little bit late. But for some reason, yes, you always bake in injury risk and injury history to value at any position, particularly running back. But I think for some reason his is weighted differently, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a reason for it. Maybe it's because he's on the injury list when he plays more frequently than other running backs. I don't know why, but that's not really here or there.
I mean, listen, he's gotten banged up, and then there's been a lot of weeks where he was sort of questionable, and you know, there was a he got rolled. That Cowboys player like right. sort of rolled his leg. It was a very dirty play. And there were concerns that he might be out for a lot longer, and he came back sooner than you think. Look, to your point, Stefania, though, this is a guy who, since 2018, has played 41 NFL games. That is more games since 2018 than Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, all of whom are being drafted ahead of him. That's one fewer game than Aaron Jones has played since 2018. And again, some of those are like, you know, obviously McCaffrey missed most of last year. But the fact is, again, since 2018, he's played 41 games. So the question is, I think the injury concerns are overblown, and more importantly, I think there were people that, is he really going to be the guy? Well, the Seahawks committed to him this offseason. Adam Schefter and I always talk about this. Follow the money. That Chris Carson got a nice deal from the Seahawks this year.
Yeah, 2 years, $13 million for Chris Carson to stick around. So he also makes your love list amongst running backs, Matthew.
Yeah, look, here's the thing about Chris Carson, who was always underrated. Last year, career high 4.8 yards per carry, career high in receiving touchdowns. He has improved his receptions per game every single year he's been in the NFL. I'm not saying he's Austin Eckler or Alvin Kamara, but he is more involved in the passing game every single year. And I will say that I'm a believer in Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator of the Seahawks, comes over from the Rams, Sean McVay disciple. McVay is always somebody who loves to run and run in the red zone. He's going to touch the ball a lot on a very good offense, one of the best offenses in the NFL. He's going as running back 19 in the fifth round. I'm as running back 13. Chris Carson is perennially underrated.
Let's move forward to a wide receiver who should not be overlooked anymore as he enters his third season in the league. It's Terry McLaurin from your beloved Washington football team. Matthew, he cracks your top 10 in terms of wide receiver rankings. And you just think about the great wide receivers in the NFL. To even be inside your top 10 speaks to how brilliant of a player he is.
He's amazing. This is a guy who was a top 20 wide receiver last year on a points per game basis. And he did that despite scoring only 4 touchdowns. He got really unlucky with the touchdowns. And also, think about the quarterbacks that McLaurin was playing with last year. You know, Dwayne Haskins, who's now a backup and was released by Washington. You know, Kyle Allen, Alex Smith. And, you know, we love Alex Smith. It's Alex Smith. He's a new colleague here of ESPN. We're all big fans of Alex Smith, the person and the player. But, you know, look, not a guy that was driving the ball down the field last year. So, Terry McLaurin had to play with multiple quarterbacks last year. Let's just call it inconsistent quarterback play, and yet still was a top 20 wide receiver. Now he gets Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick, in the last 3 seasons in which he's played at least 12 games, he has supported a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. He made Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker things when he was with the Jets. He resurrected Devontae Parker's career in Miami, and now he gets Terry McLaurin. You think about what Fitz likes to do. He likes to drive. He's not scared to drive the ball downfield. He's not scared to throw into traffic. He's not scared to be aggressive. You think about the speed of somebody like McLaurin. I think sky's the limit for Terry McLaurin. I am, as again, like I said, top 10 wide receiver. He comes in at number 9 for me. Call him Terry McScorin.
Wow, well done by you.
By the way, Curtis Samuel, who they brought in this year, still dealing with the lingering effects of a groin injury that was problematic during OTA. So, you know, who knows if Curtis Samuel is ready to go by the start of the season.
I expect the offense to be better and him to get more targets this year and them to be in scoring position more often. But even if he doesn't, even if he just basically gets the same numbers as last year, but instead of 4 touchdowns, he gets 8, which is very doable. You know what I mean? Like, he suddenly rises up. I mean, I don't think people realize how unlucky he got with the touchdowns last year. Touchdowns are always one of the hardest things to predict. They're very fluky. But knowing how often he's targeted and how talented he is from an NFL standpoint, sky's the limit for McLaurin.
He is a very, very talented player. It's the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show. And the Fantasy Football Marathon continues along. We're here until 9 p.m. tonight. Well, not on this radio program, but no. The Fantasy Football Marathon goes until 9 p.m. Check out all the content on ESPN Radio and, of course, on ESPN, ESPN2. We have a draft coming up later on today. That should be fun. Check that out at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. So we're still talking about Matthew Berry's love-hate list. And Matthew, a couple of quick players to mention, both at the wide receiver and tight end spot. Marvin Jones, professional football player, once again being overlooked in Jacksonville.
Each of the last two seasons, he has 9 touchdown receptions. He is literally the only wide receiver in the NFL with at least 9 touchdown receptions each of the past 2 years. He goes to Jacksonville, where he's reunited with Daryl Bevel, an offense coordinator that he played with in Detroit. He was a top 20 wide receiver under Bevel in Detroit. Trevor Lawrence, listen, that's a team that's going to be throwing a lot. And when you're Trevor Lawrence, what are you doing? You're looking for a veteran, somebody that can run precise routes and is going to be exactly where you want it to be. I know everyone wants to talk about LaVisca Chenault, and no question, a lot of talent. But Marvin Jones is an insane value. He's literally not being drafted, if at all. And if he is, he's going like in the 13th, 14th round.
I wonder if Marvin wound up being one of those players whose ADP skyrockets during the preseason, because in the very first Jaguars game, as you alluded to, he was really, really sharp. And it seems like maybe that's in part because DJ Chark is out for the rest of the preseason. He broke his finger earlier in camp. He's expected to be ready for week one. Yep, but it sounds like things are pointing up towards a week one return. I don't know if he'll be able to point up with his finger right now. But maybe Marvin Jones is going to seize this opportunity to build some chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. Tight end is a tricky, tricky position in fantasy football, Matthew, because on the one hand, it feels like there are more playmakers developing every single year at the position. On the other hand, history has borne out that frequently it's like 3 to 5 guys maximum that you can count on. Who's one that maybe could be counted on that people aren't currently seeing that way right now?
Yeah, Tyler Higbee, I feel like, is being underdrafted. His current ADP is undrafted in the majority of leagues. This is a guy who was being drafted as a top 7 fantasy tight end last year, and he's suddenly been forgotten. Now, I get it. It wasn't the kind of season that you hoped for from him, but in the 5 games in which Gerald Everett missed in 2019, Tyler Higbee averaged over 11 targets a game, over 21 fantasy points per game. He basically won fantasy titles for everyone that picked him up. Well, guess what? Gerald Everett, now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Now, they have a rookie tight end named Jacob Harris they like a lot there, but McVay traditionally has not been somebody that plays rookies a ton, except at the running back position. And so my expectation here is that Higbee gets a lot of run on an offense that we expect to be one of the best in the NFL. I think it takes a step forward with Matthew Stafford under center instead of Jared Goff.
Yeah, what are your expectations for Matthew Stafford this year? Because we've talked about him probably as much as any player that was traded this offseason. That happened all the way back in January. But for fantasy purposes, how intrigued are you by Matthew Stafford?
I'm pretty intrigued. You know, the challenge with Stafford, of course, is that he doesn't run. And we just talked about, you know, with Jalen Hurts, like you need quarterbacks that run. But of the pure pocket passers, Matthew Stafford's as good as anyone in the NFL, and he's going to a team in Los Angeles with Woods and my little Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to be a very good offense. It's a team that has been, you know, top 10 in the NFL in terms of red zone trips since McVay has taken over. We know that McVay is a very good offensive mind, and Stafford is an upgrade over Jared Goff. He is at this stage of both of their careers, and so I think they're going to be very good. I think Stafford's going to have a very good year. They can be a much more efficient offense. It's in scoring position quite a bit. And I think it's exciting for Matthew Stafford, too. He wanted to go to L.A.
Yeah.
McVay wanted, I mean, you know, they wanted to be together.
Well, unfortunately, though, Stefania, they did lose a key part of their offense before preseason even began. That was, of course, Cam Akers.
Right. Cam Akers lost to an Achilles rupture. They had big plans for him, obviously done for the year. But here's something people just might want to keep an eye on. Marlon Mack of the Indianapolis Colts tore his Achilles in week one last year, had it repaired, stayed with the Colts to rehab, and has had a very smooth, it's long, but a very smooth rehab process, and was out playing in a preseason game last week. And I spoke with him when I was out at Colts camp, and he is really positive about what he can do. Now, granted, he's a number two, but I think that he could be sort of a benchmark for what you can get from Cam Akers. This notion that your career is over doing it due to an Achilles injury is an old one, and I think people need to start thinking about how guys can come back. I think we're going to see that.
As long as we're talking about the Rams and we're talking about, you know, the unfortunate injury to Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, I think, is also somebody that made my love list. Look, Malcolm Brown got over 120 touches last year. He's now in Miami. As Stefania mentioned, Cam Akers is out. And so Sean McVay, who last year with the Rams, the third highest red zone rush rate since he's come to the Rams. They've also been like top 5 in the NFL in terms of red zone rush rate, top 8 in the NFL in terms of overall rushing rate. Sean McVay likes to run, and Daryl Henderson, when he gets run, has been very, very productive. Last year, in the 6 games in which he got 12 or more touches, he averaged 14.3 fantasy points per game. That would have been a very solid RB2. I just think people are concerned about can he hold up for a full season. But if you knew for a fact he was the guy, and they don't have a lot on the depth chart behind him, Xavier Jones, like, you know, Jake Funk, but I think Daryl Henderson is going to be the guy, and he's going to be the starting running back on a very good offense and a team that likes to run when they get in close.
Right, but he wasn't going to be for a reason. I think the concerns, given the ankle issues that he's had, were legit for the Rams. Now, I think they find themselves in a position where they're going to look to lean on him more than they anticipated. But I also think the whole passing game elevates quite a bit, and you maybe see a little bit different Rams offense. I saw a lot of passing going on when I was out there.
Yeah, but Henderson's a nice pass catcher. Listen, my tune changes if they sign a veteran. We'll see what happens after guys get cut and everything like that. But so far, the Rams have not, and there are some notable big name free agent running backs that are out there on the waiver wire in the NFL, and so far the Rams have not made a move, Field.
Yeah, as of right now, they have not made a move, but go check out Matthew's entire column on Love Hate featuring some of those aforementioned Los Angeles Rams. It's available right now on ESPN.com for free. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey, do you have a fantasy draft coming up? Well, you probably do if you're listening to this show, but do you need some fantasy advice? You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776.
Matthew, put
Kellerman
your phone down.
On ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. And coming up next year on the show, the fantasy-focused takeover will have the Stefania Bell injury updates, all sorts of very, very valuable information, including the latest on Saquon Barkley. But did you know, according to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the, quote, pent-up demand for all of these services. Businesses are reopening, which means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these jobs? Especially fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KellerMan. The latest on all the injury updates from the Fantasy Focus crew is next here on ESPN Radio.
As a fan, this is amazing. This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm ready.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons and the Utah Utes. Watch out for them. They're ready.
This is Sarah Spain, and I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
There are some things in life that I like to pick out myself, so I know I've got the one that's best for me, like cuts of steak, mattresses, bottles of wine, bottles of beer. But what if you could do the same thing for hiring? Choose your ideal candidate before they even apply. That's where ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply comes in. It gives you, as the hiring manager, the power to pick your favorites from top candidates. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. How does Invite to Apply work? Well, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, they send you the most qualified people for your job. Then you can easily review the candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisition for Mindola Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, quote, "I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. It's easy for me and it's easy for them." In fact, according to ZipRecruiter internal data, jobs where employees use ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply get on average 2.5 times more candidates, which help makes for a faster hiring process. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Fantasy Football, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max. And the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. You can get it. You can join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. It's Field. It's Matthew. It's Stefania Bell hanging out with you for the next couple of hours here.
Field Yates, can I jump in real quick? I'm really
sorry. How great was the intro song, Dave?
I was just going to say, does anybody on the show know who that intro song was? Or was it just another crappy band you guys have never heard of?
I assume it's a crappy band we've never heard
of. It's not a crappy. It's such a huge band. Are you kidding me? Do you, you guys don't know who it is? It's Bush.
Bush.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So.
It's been a while. It, been a while.
It's been a while.
Can I ask, because I'm not, I've obviously heard of Bush.
Sure.
I'm not a Bush fan. I will admit to that.
Yep.
Is that a big Bush song? Like, is that one of their more well-known songs?
Yeah, I think it was one of their more popular songs, I would say that. That one, Machine Head, I mean, Glycerin was another big one.
Yeah.
For people that are new to the Fantasy Focus, Daniel loves to bring up crappy bands that no one has ever heard
it's
of.
He's just Bush, like, man,
oh my God! These guys are amazing. Really, what have they done? Well, they played, like, you know,
the lead singer of Bush was married to Gwen Stefani. He was married to Gwen Stefani. I mean, that means you're no longer a crappy band that people have never heard of.
Wow.
You're a crappy band that people have heard of through your wife's band.
Here's what I was going to say. Time out for a second. They may or may not be a crappy band you've never heard of. I will say that the argument for they're not a crappy band. Band that you've never heard of is when the argument is like, hey, they were married to someone more famous. Like, that's
I'm trying to do it for you. I'm trying to find your lane here,
Matthew. I'm merely saying that's not a good argument for someone's musicianship. It's like, you know, it's like saying, you know who's a great musician is Patti Scalfa because, you know, she's married to Bruce Springsteen. You're like, oh.
But she is a great musician.
She is a great musician, but the argument for Patti is
see,
not,
I guess, no, I guess
not
both
that she's married to Bruce Springsteen.
Just defeated your own argument.
I was going to say, the only problem, Daniel, is like Matthew's musical range is literally it's Jimmy Buffett and the soundtrack to Moana. That's it. If it's not one of those two things,
Frozen.
Frozen.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Oh, yeah.
Field, would you like to build a snowman?
Okay.
Reminder, the Max Kellerman Show was presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to watch the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast any day but today, Monday through Friday, you can do so at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app, or you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. It's time now, though, for the smartest part of our show. It's Stefania Bell, the smartest person on the show. That might be damning with faint praise, but I mean it sincerely. And Stefania, the best injury expert in the business, and probably any business, to be quite frank. Let's get through some of the notable injury updates, Stefania. Are there injuries that took place last year that players are recovering from, or players that have gotten hurt during camp, or both, as is the case with Dak Prescott? What's the latest with both his ankle and his shoulder?
Well, as we just heard in that SportsCenter update, we're hearing that Dak Prescott may not play in the preseason. Don't be alarmed. I really believe this is part of the plan because once he came into camp and got injured with this lat strain, it is a thrower's injury. We just see it more often in baseball than football, so a little bit of a surprise there. But I think the plan was to play it conservative. Get him back for week one. That is the focus. You put him into a competitive situation, he's liable to overdo it. You can control volume of throws in practice. Give him the extra time. I was out at Cowboys camp. My sense is they are not concerned about this at all, but they are taking it smart. The bigger injury was the fractured ankle, the dislocation that he suffered in week five last year, had surgery on it, had plenty of time to rehab that, was actually doing work in OTAs that people weren't anticipating. So I really like Dak coming into week one. I'm not worried about him.
Matthew, from a fantasy value perspective, Dak Prescott's been one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy really since he became the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback as a rookie. Any concern about the shoulder, or are you full steam ahead with Dak?
From the beginning of 2019 through week four of 2020, he averaged 23 points per game. Only Lamar Jackson averaged more fantasy points per game. And now, with CeeDee Lamb in his second year, a healthy offensive line, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup still there. Obviously, you've got Zeke. They got some nice production out of Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz last year when Jarwin went down. He's surrounded by what I believe to be the best group of talent he's ever had in his career. And so you ask me, like, any concerns about his injury. And what I, when I get asked a question, any concerns about Dak Prescott's injury or any player's injury, you know what I do? I turn to Stefania Bell and I say, hey, Stefania, Stefania, thumbs up or thumbs down to Dak Prescott. She just gave a thumbs up. So, yeah, Dak Prescott is my QB3 this year. Look, he's right in that range. If you want to take Kyler Murray over him, you want to take Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson over him, I get it. But I have Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott at three.
All right, so let's stay in the NFC East. And an injury that I think maybe is a little bit more concerning, Stefania, that's Saquon Barkley, who will be most assuredly a first-round pick somewhere in your drafts this year. But are you concerned about at all about the fact that It's August 18th, and the Giants still won't commit to week one from an ACL tear, which I don't want to make light of that, but ACLs have a proven track record of players coming back from them, even at running back. That happened in week two.
It happened in week two. I think there's a few things to parse out here. It's important that we look at not all ACLs are created equal, right? You can have just an isolated ACL tear. Yeah, I'm sure. Matthew might have zero ACLs, but somehow functions.
It's like I have just a bunch of Snicker bars, you know, keeping my, my the two pieces of my leg together.
I don't even want to be
some Reese's pieces stuck are in there. You know,
once you break, honestly, there's no coming back for you.
Right? You know, with some Sour Patch Kids, honestly,
give
like those.
Give me a break. Yeah. Give me a break.
But if we get back to like a real athlete like Saquon Barkley, so he actually tore his ACL, his MCL, and had meniscus damage, which they repaired. Why does that matter? Because it is important for the longevity of his career. The repaired meniscus helps protect the knee, but it does take a little bit longer in terms of your rehab. And you can have a slow going out of the gate, and that's what apparently happened. We thought we might see him do something in OTAs. No. And then when he gets to training camp, not participating, still doing rehab work. He did get taken off the PUP list, but when he returned, it was only individual drills. Yesterday, he did work in 7-on-7s, but still wearing a non-contact jersey. Here's what I want people to understand. People say, well, he's out there. He's making progress. The start of the season is not until September 12th for them. And when Saquon was playing at his top, he was a tackle breaker. He has to shed defenders. He has to break contact. The problem now is he's still not even being touched. He has to get used to making football moves, having contact come at him, breaking contact, and then running like the player you want him to be from 2 years ago, all by September 12th. How much do you trust that?
Not enough to draft him with the fifth overall pick in my fantasy draft, tell you that much.
I mean, he made my hate list. Again, and I don't hate the player, but I do hate the fact that, to your point, Field, he's being drafted fifth overall, like in the middle of the first round. And like, you hear everything that Stefania is saying, and we don't know if he's coming back. There are real concerns about this offensive line. People forget that last year, prior to his injury, small sample size, but he had 34 yards on 19 carries. Mm-hmm. Like, the offensive line issues were a real thing last year, and I don't know that they've been solved this offseason. We'll wait to see. And then my other question is like, all right, say that he comes back, say that he's healthy, but does he have the explosiveness? You know,
those are the things that there has been literature published that shows often after these injuries, not until the second year that these guys hit their metrics. And I think you mentioned the offensive line being poor before and him still being able to thrive because of the talent. But that was a healthy player. That's different than when you're coming back off an injury, and having that space gives you a different comfort. It is a mental issue as well as a physical one. I love him long term. I'm concerned about him at the start of the season for fantasy purposes.
Especially where he's going.
And it seems like the Giants are going to be patient and smart with Saquon Barkley. No need to rush back a player that could be a central part of their franchise for years to come.
Devontae Booker may be an interesting late round flyer.
That about that. Hey, tune into an NL Central battle tonight as the Cardinals host the red hot Milwaukee Brewers. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So coming up here, Stefania is only getting started. She has wet the beak, but it's time for more injury updates that is very important for your fantasy drafts. But first, 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. We like value in fantasy football, none of this high-priced stuff. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month. That's like getting Travis Kelce in the third round with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all in America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones for less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A 5G-capable device is required. Actual eligibility, coverage, and speed may vary. More from Stefania Bell next here on the Max Kellerman Show with the ESPN's Fantasy Focus Takeover.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
People within the National Football League could sniff and smell that something wasn't right.
Followed by Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
Is the quarterback ready to play or not? They've put everything around him. They've done the opposite, the literal opposite of what the other team in town did.
Your weekday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Did you know Tony Romo is a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Corona are remotivating fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RealMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RealMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
She's not a coach, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
Let me guess. Darius Rucker.
Stop it.
Come on, this is the Black Crows. This is a little jealous again.
That was pretty good right there.
Look
pretty
at
good.
You, Matthew. I'm really impressed. I'm not going to lie.
Because this is a band people have heard of.
People have heard of Bush.
Bush too, man.
I know people have heard of Bush.
I was just going to say real quickly, I just want to make an announcement. I just want to make a confession, a true confession.
Oh.
So, well, because you guys were like, you guys were saying my soundtrack is nothing but like Jimmy Buffett songs and like.
Sure.
And Disney
soundtracks.
Moana or Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly true. I have a more eclectic musical taste than that, but I have twin daughters that are 9 years old. And so when they were younger, I downloaded a ton of Disney songs, like all the songs from Lion King and Frozen and Little Mermaid and, you know, you name it. And, they no longer listen to those songs, but I didn't delete them off.
Stop it.
My of course.
Of course.
Like, I'll be driving around and, like, you know, whatever.
Say, let it go.
Let it go. Comes up, you know, or Snowman. Little Mermaid. Some of the Little Mermaid songs are pretty good, you know. Come on.
Wow.
Under the Sea. Who doesn't love Under the Sea?
I was just going to, can you imagine Matthew driving around singing Under the Sea by himself in the car? How awesome would that be?
So anyway, but I want to admit that. Like, I in theory, I should have, you know, deleted them, but I didn't because they're good. Whatever. I like me some Disney music.
This is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're also on Sirius XM Channel 80. And if you're wondering who we are the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. In for Max. Today is the Fantasy Football Marathon, day two of it. You can get in on the action at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And you can watch us every single day at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, ESPN Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, or listen to the audio feed wherever you get your podcast. The show is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Let's get quickly try to run through a couple of other major injury updates with you, Stefania. We've already covered Dak Prescott and Saquon Barkley. Anybody else, whether it's a Kenny Galladay who got hurt during training camp, what's the next most important fantasy injury in your opinion?
Well, I think Joe Burrow. You know, he's the leader of a team, had a huge injury with that ACL, MCL, partial PCL meniscus. I mean, his knee was shredded. And I don't think we expected his rehab to be as smooth and as progressive as it has been. Now, when he first got to training camp, he did talk about the challenge of having traffic around him, being nervous about that knee. But you know what he said today when talking to reporters? He said, we're good to go now. He feels like the last 6 to 10 practices have really increased his confidence. I know he told me he'd really like to take that first big hit and just kind of get it out of the way. That's how everyone feels coming off an injury like this. But he's moving well. Everybody, his former teammate at LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, told me the ball's coming out of his hands as fast as possible. I think that Joe Burrow is in a really good position to have success as long as he could stay protected from that front line.
Let's get to Michael Thomas, Stefania. In the interest of your time, a couple minutes here before you have to make your way to the next commitment during the marathon, what's the latest on Michael Thomas? Such a confusing injury situation in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, the surgery happened in June, and we all thought it was going to happen in January. That's the main thing you need to know. That's why the potential delay in him starting the season. Actually, no one expects him to start the season on time. The question is, when will he appear? And I think people had assumed that it would be after the Saints bye, looking at week like 6 or 7. But I think he could come back sooner than that based on how well his rehab appears to be going. The good news is that having the surgery took care of the issue. This should not be a problem for him going forward, but it is going to likely delay his start.
Matthew, we've talked about Michael Thomas so many times so far this preseason. Just a refresher of where you're at on him and whether you think he's worth the investment in the draft.
I don't mind him where he's going. He's currently going as wide receiver 33 in the 10th round, and that's basically a wide receiver 4. It's where I have him ranked. I would not want to leave a draft having to count on Michael Thomas as one of my fantasy starters. The upside of obviously is tremendous. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and we've seen him be very productive at a high level recently, but not last year. And so that's the concern here. The injury is a concern. His role in what this offense is going to be like, we don't know who the quarterback is, whether it's going to be Hill or Winston. Very different offense, no matter who's under center, right? And then there's a concern last year that he was 81st in fantasy points per target after being 16th the year before. So can he get that efficiency back up? Because he needs that unless he gets crazy volume. And if they're run heavy, he's not going to get crazy volume.
Okay, well, we cannot wait to see Michael Thomas back on the field and healthy eventually. We know the Saints certainly need him as well. They are thin at wide receiver. So much more to come here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. But first, a thank you to Stefania Bell for joining us. We'll talk to you guys in just a couple more minutes.
Grab a 5-hour energy shot to stay alert to watch all your favorite games. Or if you stayed up late to see the intense overtime game, take a 5-hour energy shot in the morning so you can start your day. The 5-hour energy is the brand hardworking people like you have trusted for 17 years to keep them alert, energized, and feeling the way they need to feel to get through a busy, hectic day. You always know where to find 5-hour energy shots, right at the cash register at nearly every convenience, drugstore, and grocery store nationwide. Stock up on money-saving multi-packs to make sure that you never run out of delicious, energizing 5-hour energy shots. And if you go to 5hourenergy.com, that is the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-hour energy product today, you can use the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your first order. The offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on other subscriptions. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
It is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max. And the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. You can get in on the action at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, back with you for one more hour. And we are joined now by Mike Clay, ESPN fantasy expert extraordinaire. He puts up more content than anybody else at ESPN pertaining to fantasy. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be here talking some ball. Feels like the season's getting going now, right? I mean, we had Matthew's love-hate, now we have the marathon. I mean, we're rolling now.
We are absolutely rolling. We're getting closer and closer to the Bucks and the Cowboys who kick off 3 weeks from tomorrow. How about that?
Three weeks from tomorrow.
Wow. Yep. Really? Close. 25 days until the first Sunday of week one of the NFL regular season. But if you can't wait for football action, watch us on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast every day at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. Or if you're more of an audio person, you're listening to a radio program after all, find us wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it. And the Max Kellerman Show was presented by Progressive Insurance. So we've outlined some of the players that made Matthew's love list earlier on in the show. The piece is available on ESPN.com. Because you guys actually want an analyst you can trust, I figured I'd give you some of the players that make my favorites list. And if you're upset about the name lacking originality, we're workshopping it. But my first name is Field, a little alliteration, Field's favorites. If you have something better, tweet them our way.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't. On the field?
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to do something with Field.
What
right?
about, I mean, what about your Chapins?
My wife, because
your wife, his wife's name is Chapin. You love Chapin, obviously.
Right,
so this would be the football versions of your Chapin. Like, what do you love more than Chapin?
Nothing.
Right, exactly. So that's
original.
Saying.
It is original.
It is original. However, I'm not sure that if I just like randomly put that under the universe, most people will be like, oh, yes, this guy. I know his wife's name is Chapin.
But how about this for a gift for your wife? I mean, what if that becomes a synonym for greatness?
Look, honey, I brought you Brandon Ayuk.
Wow, that really would be. I have done some romantic things in my marriage, but that's about
like that ends
that's like top of the list right there, right?
Right. That I mean, that's up there. Cisco what if it goes golden in, boy? What about your golden boys?
Yeah.
The golden after your boys dog? Okay. How about the golden boys?
How about just Fields' favorites now, right?
Fields' dog is named Cisco Golden Boy. He has his own Instagram account, I'm just saying.
Here's the, no big deal. Here is the gist of the article. It's pretty simple. It's players, it's not players that you haven't heard of, right? This is not sleepers. This is not players that, if you haven't listened to the Fantasy Focus before or haven't been paying attention, you would not be aware of. As a matter of fact, some of these players are bona fide stars. It's just players that I find myself gravitating towards, and perhaps I'm a few spots more optimistic in the rankings than others, or I just think this guy is bound for a massive, massive year this year. And if I had to give a captain to the Fields' favorites team this year, it's Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who has been the talk of the town during Cowboys training camp. He fell to 17th on the board last year in the real NFL draft. There's no way he should have ever gone that low, 17th. The Cowboys, who were not looking for a wide receiver in the first round, were like, how can we bypass a player who might be one of the five best in the entire draft? This is shades of Calvin Ridley in Atlanta, who slid to Atlanta 24th overall 3 years ago, and the Falcons just took him, even if they didn't need him at the time. He eventually became the best wide receiver, at least fantasy-wise, and arguably just overall in Atlanta. It happened pretty quickly. That's where CeeDee Lamb is heading towards this year. Mike, you, of course, do our projections. What do the projections tell you about where CeeDee Lamb ranks, even amongst his own teammates?
I think he's the top guy right now, especially with Amari Cooper missing some time. I moved Lamb ahead of Cooper in the projections with some tweaks for projected target share, maybe a little missed time for Amari Cooper. But, I mean, the talent's there. The pedigree's there. He's a first-round pick entering year two. I mean, of course, we expect him to take a step forward. And keep this in mind, too. He was wide receiver 11 in fantasy with Dak Prescott last season. I mean, what if
Dak
didn't...
In his first four games as a rookie.
Exactly. What if he didn't get hurt? I mean, we might be talking about him with Justin Jefferson all offseason long instead of him starting to spike right now as we're in mid-August.
And I think what's exciting is if you're seeing some of the reports out of Dallas Cowboys camp is they are lining him up all over the field. His route tree has really expanded this year. We always talk about how a player makes the biggest jump from year one to year two, and... Well, that's what CeeDee Lamb is doing. We expect CeeDee Lamb, who was already great when he got into the NFL, we all expect him to take another leap this year.
He's like the Mike Clay of NFL wide receivers because Mike can be in multiple places at one time, as can CeeDee Lamb. He can line up in the slot. He can line up on the perimeter. Mike Clay can be here on radio while also on Daily Wager at the exact same time wearing two very different outfits. Mike, a man of many talents.
That was like 20 minutes ago, too. We're just flying right through this thing. Well, it's a marathon, right? It's a marathon. It's back to back to back. You guys know.
If I had the gumption, I'd put CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 5 because I think there's a chance he finishes one of the five best wide receivers in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
Another player.
Look, just the fact that he is sometimes being taken ahead of or being drafted ahead of Amari Cooper should tell you something. I mean, because Amari Cooper's really good.
$22 million a year good, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like it's not like Amari Cooper is some sort of slouch. Like, Amari Cooper's really good and young still. And by the way, Michael Gallup, it's why we talked about in the first hour, why I'm so high on Dak Prescott despite, the noise about his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Stephania gives him a clean bill of health. I'm in on Dak. I'm in on the Cowboys offense. Disappointingly so as a Washington fan, but... Cowboys are going to be good offensively this year. Very good.
With good reason to be in on them. I'll give you one tight end. Only one tight end made my list this year of Fields' favorites. So Jonnu Smith in New England, I've got him at tight end 8, well above most other rankers here. And this is not about what he has done. It's a reminder that in free agency, you are wise to pay a player for what you expect him to do, not what he has done up to that point, even if that's been greatness. Jonnu Smith, if you were to have an NFL combine right now and just put all the NFL tight ends in there, he might win this arbitrary combine that I'm making up. He would win the decathlon if there was a tight end decathlon. Maybe he or perhaps George Kittle. He's an absolute freak, though, athletically. The problem was he played in the third least pass-happy offense last year, who also happened to have A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry as the primary arteries in their offense. Jonnu Smith, when he got the football in space, was electric. There was a play last year that I think – a couple of years ago where there was an interception thrown in the end zone, and Jonnu Smith was like 25 yards behind the intercepting player, and he meets him like 80 yards down the field and brings him down. And
he pulled the DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it's
everyone
a DK
knows
Metcalf,
that famous play.
James Harrison play from the Super Bowl. That is the kind of athlete that Jonnu Smith is, and – earlier in the show, Matthew mentioned following the money. You don't pay a guy $50 million, which the Patriots are going to over the next 4 years, without making him a huge part of your offense. Mike, I know it's really hard to have two tight ends sustained in one offense, but do you think I'm unwise for sort of putting my chips onto the table for Jonnu?
You know what? You covered all the things I was going to fire back already. Like, we've worked together for long enough. You already knew where I was going. Pass performance, Hunter Henry, the two tight ends in this offense. But look, there's no doubt about the talent. There's no doubt about the post-catch production. To your point, he's been top 7 in yards after the catch 3 straight seasons now. He can do that damage. My drawback is, he's been around for a while. He's still yet to put together a top 15 fantasy season. But to your point, he's with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and they're going to maximize him. They paid him for a reason, so I'm interested in him. I think I have him like a borderline top 12 option. I think there's hope for him, but you know, I am a little nervous about his ceiling just because of Henry there and the other people around him. I do want to see Mac Jones with him, though, because that's going to be more pass attempts. That's going to mean more opportunity for targets, of course, and production. With Cam Newton, we know he's going to steal goal line work, and it won't be as pass-heavy of an offense.
Here's the positive side of this here. Hunter Henry hasn't played all 16 games in an NFL in mm-hmm. his career, mm-hmm. and now we're 17 games. And so I think the only concern for me on Jonnu Smith is, are you going to know what weeks to start him? He will absolutely have some monster fantasy games this year. There's no question about it. I agree with you on the talent, and there's opportunity there, but just – The Patriots system, at least to date, is usually about spreading the ball around. I think they're going to be run heavy, certainly if Cam starts the season as the quarterback. And to your point, even though they'll have two tight end sets, you're going to have Hunter Henry there, who's a good threat in the red zone. If I have to pick a Patriots wide receiver, I prefer Jonnu Smith, but I am outside my top 10 because I'm concerned about knowing when to start him.
Same thing, yeah.
You know what, though? It's not your list of favorites. It's my list of favorites.
Right.
These are my favorites. One more here, and then we're going to go out to the phone lines. One more for me, and I'll go to running back here. And I've sort of come around to this player, and I'm going with a talent trust thing. It's Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts, who there was some fading early on in the preseason because of the fact that his offensive line, specifically his best offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, was hurt. His quarterback was hurt, and Carson Wentz, and would teams be stacking the box? Marlon Mack is back after a one-year hiatus because of an Achilles tear. I'm just in. I'm trusting the talent here, Matthew. I just think he is the most talented player on the offense, not named Quentin Nelson. I think this guy is bound for stardom.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and question his talent because I'm with you there. My only concern with him, and it's a slight one, look, you have him at 8, I'm at 11. So we have three spots different. And as we get closer to the season, we know that Wentz and Nelson will start game one, then I'd probably move him up a little bit more. My concern is that last year he got a tremendous amount of run. Right, but that was with Marlon Mack out for the entire season, and it does seem like they want to use a bit of a committee here. And so, listen, is Jonathan Taylor the alpha dog? Of course he is. But does Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack get enough run to be annoying as a fantasy manager with Jonathan Taylor on your roster? I think there's a chance of that. So if he doesn't get insane volume, still really talented. Again, I have him at 11, you have him at 8. You know, sort of nitpicking here a little bit, but Mike, I'm not as optimistic as Field because Marlon Mack is back and healthy, and they like him in Indy.
I hear you, and perhaps that caps his ceiling a little bit. It's why he could be as good as he was last season, and we're not talking about him with Christian McCaffrey, right?
Right.
Because he's kind of capped in that department. However, I'll say this, as efficient and effective as he is as a rusher, as good as he was last season, he also is top two in yards per target and catch rate among running backs. Like, I don't feel like we've talked about that at all. He is an effective pass catcher, too. He has that in his skill set, and that's why I think he can push for 45 catches and you know, over 300 touches this season and still be a quality RB1. So
there
That is a great point, because that was one of the knocks on him coming out of college, is like he never caught the ball at Wisconsin. You never needed to.
Yeah,
when you're rolling over everybody into the end zone, you never need
record
to catch the
setting.
Ball.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, obviously.
So,
yeah,
but totally. Right, you're right. He caught the ball more than I think people thought he was going to in his first year, and you expect that to expand.
Field's favorites will eventually be out on ESPN.com. I don't know when, but I'm working on it right now. There are a few other players that come to mind. We'll save some of those for the written piece. But let's head out to the lines right now, the phone lines. Again, if you want to get in the action, dial 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And we appreciate the patience. Let's head out now to the phone lines. And first, we talk to Jared in Tennessee. Jared, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So I have Joe Mixon in my keeper league, and I was just wondering what you think the best case scenario ceiling for him is this year.
Well, Jared, first of all, good player to have on your keeper roster. Thanks for the question. Matthew, I'll start with you. What's the ceiling for Joe Mixon this season?
The ceiling for Joe Mixon is, you know, a star RB1. Mm-hmm. This is an offense that we think is going to be behind. Mixon can be a true three down back. He's got a 45 catch season under his belt. We know Giovanni Bernard. He's now in Tampa Bay, so we know that he can be on the field quite a bit. And with the addition of Jamar Chase, second year of T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, assuming a fully healthy Joe Burrow. As Stefania said in the first hour, she expects him to be back and ready. Yeah, like he could get on the field a lot, and that's an electric offense. And especially if you're a defense coordinator, you're saying like, "Wow, I got to deal with Higgins, Chase, and Boyd." So maybe some, you know, some nice boxes for Joe Mixon to see, some lighter boxes. Having said that, there's a bad offensive line. He's got an injury history. And how often are they going to be in scoring position? I don't know. But like, so, but the ceiling, to answer your question, the ceiling is top five running back because he's going to get a ton of volume. He's a talented player on an offense that's going to be throwing a lot, and he's a pass-catching running back.
No doubt. And just look at his volume the past couple of seasons. 75% of the carries in 2019 and 8% of the targets last year when he played. 81% of the carries and 12% of the targets, even more. I mean, when he's out there, they use him a ton. Super talented. Just turned 25 years old. Still a relatively young back. And actually, for once, a little bit of positivity with the Bengals line. I mean, when's the last time we've had that with the two tackles, Riley Reiff and Jonah Williams? A little bit of positivity there with those guys. So I think it's setting up for potentially a career year for Joe Mixon.
And the other thing I'll say here about Mixon is that I think there's a phrase we use a lot, but the, quote, hate has gone too far on him. Like, there's certainly concerns, especially given how last year ended and kind of a weird injury. But he's going in the middle of the third round.
Yeah.
He's going as running back 14. That strikes me as really low. Like, originally I was out on Joe Mixon, but now given current ADP, like, I'm back in on Joe Mixon.
Matthew Berry is back in on Joe Mixon. But as we talked about earlier, Matthew writes a love-hate column every year.
Yep.
And that the love side we've already covered. But there's a couple players, Matthew, and hate, a reminder, not personal. You don't think the player's a bad player. It's just that where that player is being drafted, you don't think that's exceptional value. So let's go through a couple of players that might this year be a little bit overvalued in your estimation.
I think Matt Ryan is being overvalued. And I understand, look, he's going as QB. Like, he's not going particularly high, right? I mean, I believe he is going as, like, as a mid-tier QB. Currently going as, yeah, currently going like QB 14, 15 in that range. That's both where you guys both have him ranked. I'm at QB 19, so I'm lower than consensus. You know, my concern here is that you think about some of the people that he's being drafted ahead of Trey Lance, for example. Like, when you're down that low, he's being drafted in the same round as Tua. Basically, he's being drafted in the same round as Justin Fields. I would rather any of those guys, Tua, Lance, or Fields, significantly ahead of Matt Ryan, and I get it, two of those three guys don't have a starting job at the moment, but the concern is if you're down that far, like, what you want is upside, and I don't think there's any upside in Matt Ryan, who does not run, obviously, right? So the what you're hoping for is that there's massive volume, but look at his splits. Last year, there were seven games in which Julio Jones missed. He averaged 14.2 fantasy points per game in the games in which Julio Jones missed, and obviously Julio now in Tennessee. He averaged 22.1 in the games where Julio was there. I get it. They drafted Kyle Pitts. And all due respect to Kyle Pitts, and we think Kyle Pitts is a monster and he's going to be a fantastic NFL and fantasy player. But a rookie tight end does not replace first ballot Hall of Famer Julio Jones in his first year. He doesn't.
Matthew Beard, just so you know, Matt Ryan is going as quarterback 18 right now as far as ADP. He's only being drafted in 42% of leagues, and it's the same, like, he's right in that same area as Baker Mayfield.
But that,
I understand. But like, he's also like, again, like, but he's going in the same. He's going ahead of Trey Lance.
Of course,
Going in the same round. He's going in the same round to the extent that he's being drafted. He's going in the same round as Trey Lance, as Tua, as Justin Fields, and these two guys on the other side of me all have him at 14.
Well,
I'm at 19. I'm at QB 19.
Well, Mike and I have obviously, like, we've got many, many championships under our belt, so it's not a huge surprise that we have him at quarterback 14.
I just think there's no upside to Matt Ryan, and if I'm drafting a quarterback that late, I want upside.
I tend to agree. I guess I like him more in a super flex format where he's like a safe QB2, but I agree that he doesn't have the ceiling he used to, right? I mean, he only has one top 10 the past 4 years in one of the past heaviest offenses in the NFL. Remember, it's a new coaching staff now. It's not going to be pass-heavy Atlanta like it's been the last couple of years, the Dirk Cutter era. Like, that's over with now. It's going to be a run-first offense. Keep in mind, Tennessee, 31st in pass attempts during the Arthur Smith era. That's going to be the case, I think, going forward. Maybe not to that extent, but certainly not the pass-happy Falcons offenses that we're used to.
Let's talk about David Montgomery for a second.
Okay.
Because he's a Fields favorite. He's not a Matthews favorite.
He's on my hate list.
Come on, give it to me. Tell me more.
So, look, I get, and by the way, I will admit, of all the players that are on my hate list, this is the one I'm most nervous about blowing up in my face. I will be honest. I will be honest about that. But here's a guy that had like 8 touchdowns in his final 6 games. He was just an absolute superstar down the stretch. And why did that happen? It happened for a couple reasons. He had a great schedule. He had an unbelievable schedule down the stretch. He had tremendous passing game usage, and he had a huge workload. I am concerned about all three things. I don't know that he gets as much workload this year, given that they added Damian Williams, and eventually Tariq Cohen will come back. I also think both Williams and eventually Cohen will take some passing game work. When Cohen was healthy, Montgomery averaged just 2.3 targets a game. After Cohen was injured, he averaged basically 5 targets a game. So I'm worried about his passing game usage. I don't think the schedule is going to be as friendly, and my expectation is that Justin Fields takes this job over sooner rather than later, and I think he vultures 3 or 4 touchdowns, which could matter, right? You know, when they get in close, like, are they handing off to Montgomery, or is Justin Fields doing a bootleg to the corner?
So I think that basically all the factors that you're concerned about, I'm not concerned about. Not all of them, but at least some of them. First of all, I've noticed that when we reflect upon running backs who broke out at the end of last year, we talk about David Montgomery's schedule, but we ignore Jonathan Taylor's schedule, including a 37-point effort in Week 17 against the lowly Jaguars that skews his total season ranks. I feel like David Montgomery, and I know he's not the player that maybe people expected him to be right out of the gates when many thought he would be an immediate RB2 as a rookie, but I think he's a good player. The Bears have been incredibly outspoken in their dedication to David Montgomery. He showed enough last year that a lot of the criteria for Fields favorites this year, Mike, is just basically I think the player's more talented than we're giving him credit for. David Montgomery fits that mold.
And I liked him a lot coming into the league. But speaking of people outspoken about where, you know, about David Montgomery, how about David Montgomery, who he was caught on air complaining about his rankings across the industry in fantasy? He's not thrilled that he's seeing himself around 20 or so.
David's going to be on Fields' favorite. It's all good. Everything, all's well that ends well, David.
You saw that, and now you're,
part of the concern here is also, again, my hate list is about where players are being drafted. And David Montgomery's going 30th overall. Here's some of the players that he's going ahead of. CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, you know, like Chris Carson. I prefer Chris Carson to him, I think Chris Carson is safer. I know other people don't. But anyway, so I guess there's that as well.
Here's the main thing for me. I moved him up recently to 15th in running.
That's where I had him ranked as well. Man.
Good thinking, Mike.
So, but here's the thing. Tariq Cohen right now, he might miss a lot of the season right now. It's not looking so high. And that was key for me. I think Montgomery's going to get a lot of that passing down work early in the season. That moved the needle for me.
I guess I think Damian Williams gets more run than people are thinking about. I don't think he's there as depth. I think Damian Williams is a good player.
I think he's there as depth, personally. That's just my own take, but we'll see. And I'm in on David Montgomery. One of us will be right. The other will be Matthew Berry. Guest join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And coming up, Mike Clay is going to break down some of his rankings. Mike is the man responsible for all the projections at ESPN. He has limitless insight. But first, DoorDash is here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off that. You got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. You want to surprise your crush? Ooh, send a gift and save. Try DashPass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees all year round. Get more from your neighborhood now with DashPass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions do apply. Mike Clay's rankings here next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's my Clay.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80 rolls along, and it is the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast in for Max today as the Fantasy Football Marathon continues until 9 p.m. Eastern Time all over ESPN, whether it's ESPN Radio, eventually ESPN2. And you can get involved in this show at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. If you want to watch the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, you can do so Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And the Max Kellerman Show was presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So Mike Clay is here along with Matthew Berry, and I am Field Yates. And Mike is the man responsible for projections here at ESPN. He has an incredibly thorough process that gets him to his rankings as well during the preseason.
And I think you should understand sort of the projections. I just think this is important that, like, so you know how, like, you're playing on ESPN Fantasy?
Okay.
And it'll, like, show you you're projected to win.
Right.
right? And then you don't win.
Right, so it's Mike's fault.
It's Mike's fault.
Just remember
in case
that.
You were wondering, like, that happens to you and you get really frustrated. You're like, wait, I was supposed to win by 10 points. How did I lose by 5?
You want to defend your honor,
at Mike Clay NFL is where you should, you know, direct your comments.
I mean, I'm just surprised that had to be said because, like, I see my reply column all Sunday long right. when I get those messages and the, you know, Instagram DMs and stuff. So I thought everyone knew that already, yeah. but
Instagram
maybe not.
DM, that's an interesting one because you have to accept the DM on Instagram, whereas the reply on right. this is visible whether you actually accept it yeah. or not.
Well, your mistake yeah, is reading them.
Yeah. Let's get into try not some to, of the ranks. You know. Great call there. Just ignore. Let's get to some of the ranks and projections for this year, Mike. And one of the biggest names traded this offseason was Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. He, of course, goes to a new team that we think could be very pass-heavy this year and certainly has great weapons to throw it to. What's your outlook for Matthew Stafford this season?
You know, it's okay, you know, like borderline QB1. Right. I mean, look, here's the thing. It's 2021. There's a laundry list of quarterbacks who can run the ball, yeah. you know, and Matthew Stafford is not one of them. So what would it take for him to be a, let's say, an average weekly QB1, like 5 or 6, we'll say. Tom Brady last year, right? Like 40
yeah.
touchdowns, 45 touchdowns, a ton of passing yards. You know, Brady had one of the best supporting casts in the league, a pass-heavy offense. You know, I think the Rams' offense will lean toward the pass. That's been the history of Sean McVay. But and he has decent guys to throw the football to, but it's not going to be quite as pass-heavy. And, you know, he doesn't run the ball. And that's just, Matthew, for me, that limits him, right? So I believe I have him 14th on my board. He was 16th last year. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL talent-wise. But I just think because of all the other competition, all these guys like Wilson and Jackson and Prescott and Murray and Allen and Mahomes and even Jalen Hurts, they just do so much with their legs that he can't do enough with his arm to offset that.
Yeah, the only and I have him in the same range as well. I'm like one or two spots higher than you. The only argument for is that, like, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's got really good talent around him. And again, as you know, with the loss of Cam Akers, do they want to lean on Daryl Henderson, who has had some fragility issues in his young NFL career? He's had some injury issues, and so maybe they don't feel like he can take a full bell cow workload. They have Xavier Jones and Jake Funk. They don't have a lot of depth behind him, so maybe they're a little bit more pass happy. And Sean McVay is as good an offensive mind as there is in the NFL.
No doubt.
So that's the argument: is that, like, just could he have just a monster season? Because it's you know, Jared Goff has put up viable fantasy seasons, and Matthew Stafford is significantly better at this stage of his career.
And that's
than Jared
what he
Goff.
Needs. That's my point. He needs
right.
that absolutely
yes.
to compete as a, you know, a plus for you on a week to week basis.
I agree.
You just mentioned Sean McVay. His former team is your team, the Washington Football Team. That's a lot of time saying team in about 5 seconds. Mike, Antonio Gibson has a chance to be a breakout star this year, even though he was really, really good last year. What's your outlook for Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, so you guys did your loves and your feet. What are we calling those feet?
Bill's
favorites.
Favorites.
So
thanks for remembering.
His golden boys.
Like 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
Well, I'm still workshopping it in my mind. We're still processing the name. But Gibson is probably my number one guy this year for sure. And Matthew, I'm sure I know you like him as well.
Love him.
There's just, it's such a good situation, right? He was a day two pick last year. This is a guy that had 33 carries in college, worked out with the wide receivers at the combine. Do you remember last year in like April, May, June, we're like, is he going to play running back or wide receiver? Like, they really need receivers. Yeah. He might play receiver. No, he goes in and is one of the most effective rushers in the NFL, has 11 rushing touchdowns, handle all kinds of volume, and was limited in a big way as a pass catcher. In fact, during the weeks he played last year, he only played 47% of the snaps. Think about all the room he still has to grow in the NFL. He's just going to get better as a rusher. He has good size. He can handle goal line work. He could double his receiving output. I think the all the hype around him right now is legitimate, and the sky's the limit. My bold take this year, whenever I'm asked that question, is he'll be the number one scoring fantasy running back this year. I think he has that ceiling.
As somebody who has him on my roster in the Dynasty League, I'm in with both of you guys. I love to hear that. You know, I'm a fan of Gibson. I'm a fan of Washington. I do think that offense takes another step up as well. They improve their offensive line, adding Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. Mm-hmm. They'll be in scoring position more often, especially given that defense is going to get the ball in favorable positions as well. The versatility of Gibson is one of the things that Scott Turner loves. Remember, Scott, of course, was with the Panthers and Christian McCaffrey.
Things are looking up in D.C. First time we can say that in quite some time. So coming up here on the Max Kellerman Show, we'll dive into more notes from Mike's projections, plus talk a little bit of strategy. It is the, of course, ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon. We are going until 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 hours more. But first, download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card. The card built for your next adventure. More fantasy football nuggets next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
He's thirsty, Kyle.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus returns also on Sirius XM Channel 80. The tunes have been rocking all throughout the show. And the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max because the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. We have another 6 hours, well, close to 6 hours left here on the Fantasy Football Marathon. And if you want to watch Fantasy Focus Football Podcast Monday through Friday, you can do so at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. It's Field Yates alongside Matthew Berry and Mike Clay. Good to have both of you here with us. And a reminder, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We're going to head out now to the phone lines, and we begin with Brittany in Pennsylvania. What do you got, Brittany?
Hey, guys. Huge fan of all of you. Curious, with all of the mock drafts and real drafts you've done so far, where is your favorite spot to draft from? Thank you.
Great question, Brittany. Thanks for that one. I'm going to go
around
the bend.
Who are you a bigger fan of? She said she's a huge fan of all of ours.
If she's still on the line, she can answer me.
I have to admit, I took Matthew's advice last year and took Daniel Jones in the draft, so I'm a little bit upset with him.
All right, well, we can cut her off.
Leaning more towards the other guys right now.
There we go, Brittany.
You know what? That's fair, Brittany. That's fair.
I was just expecting Stefania. Like, I just assumed that was coming. Yeah. I assume everyone will just call Stefania.
Brittany, I apologize. Thank you for still being a fan after that brutal call from last year.
All right,
it's not just me that blew that call. It's also Dave Gettleman. So come on, let's be honest.
Wow, spicy for Matthew, but not inaccurate. Let's talk about our favorite draft position, Mike. So let's assume, 10 or 12 team league. Where do you think you would like to be, whether it's one specific spot or a range of spots?
Yeah, look, I hate to give this answer, but pick your spot. I mean, I'll expand. I don't have a major issue with any spot. If I'm picking, though, if someone just says, go ahead, pick your spot, you get to pick first, I just take McCaffrey. I'll just take that number one spot. Yeah. However, I'm in a 12-team draft right now, and there's this Matthew Berry guy in there, and I'm picking at the I'm picking 12, so I'm at that turn. And I got to be honest, Field, I am dominating this draft.
Wow, tell me more. Who do you have?
Dominating this. Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson, Robert Woods, Amari Cooper, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Noah Fant, Russell Wilson. I mean, just complete dominance from the 12 spot. I mean, no one else in this league has a chance here.
Are we even?
Why do you read my team? My team in that league is pretty good too.
Oh no, I don't think so. But I don't think so. Anyway, that's from the 12 spot.
Read it. Let's hear it.
I'm in the 5 spot, and in that particular league.
Do you want me to read your team?
Yeah, I believe it's. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, Adam Thielen, Josh Allen, Tyler Boyd, Logan Thomas. I like some of those guys. There's a lot of older players there, though. That makes me a little nervous.
Is this dynasty or what?
No, it's just a best ball.
And it's a best ball. It's a one quarterback best ball league.
Yeah. Interesting.
So at any rate, to answer your question, Brittany, it depends on sort of the league that you're in and what your rules are. But assuming you're playing an ESPN standard league, which is a one quarterback league, 10 team, I agree with Mike. I want the first pick, but I think I'd really want to be in the first 4 picks.
Gotcha.
Because I think there are 4 running backs that are, or really 5.
5. I throw Zeke in there as well.
Yeah, I'd throw Zeke in there as well. I sort of agree. I think there are 5 running backs that are super, super safe. If you want to like sort of nitpick, is there a concern that Derrick Henry doesn't get all the touchdowns that he has previously because he doesn't really catch a lot of passes? Is there a concern about Kamara if Taysom Hill is the starter and, you know, he averaged 14 fantasy points per game when Taysom Hill was the starter last year? And so, you know, like, again, if you want to nitpick, so maybe in the first 3. But honestly, I think in the upper half of the draft, because wide receiver is so deep, I want one of those running backs where there's really no questions at all.
Feels like sort of the dead zone, the place where you may not want to be, is 7 through 9. Like a 10, if it's a 10-team league, at least you have back-to-back picks. You can potentially feel good about either having elite wide receiver play on your roster or 2 running backs that are rock solid. It gets a little bit sort of hairier between 6, 7, 8, 9, where you're having to decide, do I take that last running back or do I take that first wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good spot to get Travis Kelce, though, which I'm more than happy to do in the first round. But I will say this, another advantage to the first overall pick is when you come back around in the 2-3 area, I mean, there's some serious talent there. I mean, if you start McCaffrey, you could come back and go like Justin Jefferson and potentially A.J. Brown. I mean, that's about where they're going. Maybe Keenan Allen or, you know, even Clyde Edwards-Helaire or someone like that if you want to go right. running back. I mean, there is seriously a lot of talent at that 2-3 turn, and that's fantastic. You can really get a good 1-2-3 start.
Pick 5 is my favorite spot this year only because I feel good that I'll get any of my top 5 running backs, and then I am closest up for my second round pick. So pick 5 is sort of my sweet spot.
Well, when you're in the middle like that, especially, you don't get caught on any, at the end of any runs. If there's right. a position run, then you're not sort of like stuck at the end trying to figure out where you want to go.
Understanding that Matthew usually picks first based off of, like, you know, reverse order of last year's standings. Like, it's
wow.
It's I know it's unfamiliar wow. territory for you.
Well, but you and I play together in the War Room League. Would you like to come visit my trophy? Because I know I can't come visit yours.
Wow, I've only been in the league for a few years, so give me some time. I'm calling a win this year in the War Room League. Wow. Can't wait for wow. that.
Okay.
Got a couple calling minutes left here on the show. So let me ask you guys a couple of questions here. And Mike, I'll start with you. When's the right time to take the top of the single positions, players at either quarterback or tight end? How soon for a quarterback? How soon for a tight end?
Well, my zone for quarterback is really around 6 and 7, looking at a 12-team league, so maybe even a pinch later in a 10-teamer. But like Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, that's really where I'm going for. I want one of those two guys. Okay. We know they have elite ceilings. Last time we saw Dak, he was QB2. For a full season, then obviously he was on pace for over 7,000 yards early last season before his injury. And, of course, Lamar Jackson, we've seen him be the QB1 before. So I like that tier at quarterback. That's when I would start thinking about it. At tight end, like I just said, I would take Travis Kelce in the middle of the first round. I think he'll pay that off. I've been projected for 60 more points than any other tight end. So I guess that's my answer.
Matthew, anything else you want to add there?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with Mike. Travis Kelce is a first rounder.
Yeah, Travis Kelce will go in the first round of your draft. 5 straight seasons with 1,000-plus receiving yards, and, of course, that is the only tight end in NFL history to ever do. As a matter of fact, no tight end has ever had more than 5 1,000-yard receiving seasons in his entire career.
Right.
He's done it in 5 straight years. Travis Kelce has a chance in this league if he just grows that beard back. We had a lot of fun here. Thanks for allowing us to hang out with you on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. He is Mike Clay NFL on Twitter, Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter, and all forms of social media. I am at Field Yates. Find us tonight on ESPN2 Fantasy Football Draft. Max Kellerman Show back tomorrow.
Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.